Maureen Dillon Teasdale for The Cube 88.9 FM, and today we have Melanie Cutting with us, and it's time again for At the Movies with Mel. So welcome, Melanie.
Thank you. I've seen a couple of movies since we last spoke.
Okay, that's good.
They're both still there, which is good because I would recommend both of them, but they are a bit unusual. One that is not so unusual but is very compelling is called Target Number One, and in some places, I think in the U.S., it's called Most Wanted. So if you're trying to look it up on the internet and you can't find anything under Target Number One, then look under Most Wanted. Same movie, different title depending on the country that you happen to be in.
Okay.
Anyway, this is a Canadian film. I think I have already spoken about this to a certain extent, but maybe not after I'd already seen it. I think I talked about it before I saw it because I'd done some reading on it. It is a Canadian movie starring not a Canadian actor, Josh Hartnett, but a number of other featured players are very definitely Canadian, including a young man named Antoine Pilon. Antoine Olivier Pilon, I think, who is a Quebecois. He has appeared in a number of movies already, even though he's quite a young man. I think he's early 20s. And essentially, he plays the role of an unfortunate kind of young man who is just not really very bright, and he gets into some trouble. And next thing he knows, he's been railroaded by drug lords. He is himself an addict, and not a terribly bright guy, but that's probably why he's selected to be the person who's kind of the fall guy for what's going on in the Canadian. It's the RCMP, but they don't call it the RCMP. Very good performances. Quite a fascinating story. It's based on a true story of what happened back in 1988, and it's something that it is quite a long film, but it's gripping. You really kind of watch. Okay, what's going to happen next? And you feel like, oh my goodness, what kind of mess is this poor young guy going to get into next? And he does end up in a bit of a mess, and it's not. I'm not giving away anything when I say that he ends up being sent to 100 years in a Thai prison. You can imagine what even one day in a Thai prison is like. So 100 years is just mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he's excellent. Josh Hartnett is also very good. He plays the role of the investigative journalist who is on to this story, and he finally gets into Thailand to meet with the young man who's at that point in prison, tries to get him to talk about what really happened, and ultimately goes to bat for him back in Canada. So a very, very well done movie. One sort of funny thing is that, Jim Gaffigan, who's a comic, and he does mostly stand-up comedy, plays a very bad guy in this, and he is excellent as a very bad guy. So you just sort of have to forget about Jim Gaffigan, the very funny stand-up comedian, and say, oh, this is a horrible guy. So that would be one that I would say, if you are looking for a new movie, which is one that definitely centered on a Canadian incident, then this is the one to go see. The other movie which I saw recently is called It Must Be Heaven. In French, it's C'est à la paradis. And the version that they have playing at the Maison de Cinéma is subtitled in French. There's not a whole lot of dialogue to begin with. It's a very visual, very, very visual film. But if you, I saw it with some friends, at least one of whom is not terribly fluent in French, and we all enjoyed it. So even if your French is a little shaky, or even a lot shaky, you can check out this movie and still enjoy it. So it's called It Must Be Heaven, and it's made by a filmmaker named Ilya Suleiman, who is Palestinian and who lives in Nazareth, which of course is currently it's in Israel. It is not his first film. He's been making films for a while, and he calls himself a filmmaker philosopher, and it's just totally whimsical. You would think, oh my goodness, this is a movie about living in Palestine under what they call occupation, and yet it is very funny, and as I said, very visual. It's kind of surrealist visual. There's some wonderful scenes, especially in when he's in France and when he's in the United States. As I said, absurdist themes, but definitely worth a watch. This is a movie which it was introduced at the Toronto International Film Festival, and you would say, oh, this sounds like a film festival movie, and that's really kind of what it is. But it's definitely, it's not a pure, well, it's a little bit of pure. Mostly it's just visual. You just have to sit back and enjoy the visuals. Essentially, it's a movie about Ilya, who's the director, filmmaker, star, who has taken his film on the road to try and get some distribution. So he ends up in the United States and France, and a big chunk of it, of course, takes place in Israel. And it's very hard to describe, but it's definitely a movie that you would very much enjoy, unless you insist that your movies have, complicated plots and or car chases and things. But the chief character, who is a nameless, silent character, but it's essentially Ilya Suleiman, the filmmaker, and he says, he's not totally silent, but almost totally silent. And there's a few other characters in movies of the past who have played this kind of character. Charlie Chaplin is one, Buster Keaton is another one, and Peter Sellers in a movie where he played Chance the gardener, and he had not a line in there. So it is, as I said, kind of absurdist and not necessarily everybody's taste. But as I said, if you want to just sort of sit back and enjoy something that you're not likely to see again anytime soon, then it is one to go and see. I think it's described critiques as whimsical, definitely whimsical. And funny. And one of the lines is, "Oh, he's making a movie about Palestine, which is a comedy." Well, that is funny.
It is. Yeah.
That. Yeah. How can you make a movie about Palestine, which is a comedy, and yet it is? And there's, you can watch it as purely visual, but you can also find that there's some sly and not so sly folks at the state of the world today. So that's there, and it's going to be there for a while. It's definitely one that I would say, yeah, if you want to see something unusual but enjoyable, then take this movie in. Other movies that are there, which many of which people have seen, because they're oldies but goodies. There's not that many new movies, at least not in English, but they have quite a chunk of old movies. For example, 2001: A Space Odyssey is playing in English. This is clearly a movie that requires it doesn't require, but it certainly is enhanced by, you know, a darkened theater and a large screen. So 2001, A Space Odyssey is there. Casino Royale, which is a James Bond movie, that's there. Again, big theater does much for it. Let's see what's going on here. We have another one, which is not necessarily a big theater movie, but worth seeing, is called The Danish Girl. And this is, again, it's not brand new. It's in English. It's another one that, if you haven't already seen it and you have $5 and some time to kill, that you might want to check this one out. And what's coming on Friday to the theater? We only have one new English movie, and it's an oldie but goodie, and it's part of the Lord of the Rings series called The Hobbit: An Unexpected Journey. Mm. Again, if you have seen this movie in the past, or if you've seen any of the Lord of the Rings movies and you enjoyed them, then this being in a dark theater with a big screen is really the only way to go. So that's beginning on Friday, and it's likely to be there, I would think, for at least a week. So, big movies for $5 rather than the usual amount, but they're old, big but old. And then there's the new movies, such as the two that I've already mentioned, and a number of French language films, and those are the usual price. And you can use, if you have your tickets left over from before COVID, the movie passes, and obviously you can use those. So then it could cost you as little as $7. Just a word about the theater itself. They have a system in place initially where they put red dots on various seats so that most of the ones that you weren't allowed to sit in, so people weren't sitting next to each other except for people who came together. If you were there with your partner or with friends and you wanted to be sitting near them, that was fine. They've abandoned that system for some reason, but they make it very clear that in the theater, don't sit next to each other except if you're, as I say, kind of, you know, husband and wife or partners. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, take several seats and put them in between you and the other person. So far, when the three movie, the three showings that I've attended there, it is we have literally been the only people in the theater. So it's kind of like a private screening. It was the last movie that we saw, which was the This Must Be Heaven, the Palestinian film, there was the four of us who came together and someone else. So there were five of us in the theater.
Oh, okay.
Needless to say, we were very socially distanced.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a bit nice in the sense that there are no lines to worry about. I'm just a little concerned that if people don't start going to movies more, that they may say, well, it's not worth keeping the theater open and paying the staff because people aren't coming. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage people to go to the movies, catch those big screen movies, catch the odd movie that is not necessarily a big screen fare, but is there in English, and you'll enjoy it. It's unlike bars and some restaurants. There is little, if any, chance of catching COVID because you're really just not near people. You're not in the big crowd. You're not dancing. It's just kind of like, I'm going to sit quietly in this theater and enjoy the movie. So that would be my recommendation, is go to the movies. You'll enjoy it. And there are some good movies playing.
Well, thanks very much, Melanie. Anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I didn't, I'm sorry, I didn't take the time to check what was happening up at Galaxy or in Magog. They have, they have some, but very few English movies, and you can be pretty sure that the English movie that they have is already playing, for example, at the Maison de Cinema. The Maison de Cinema really goes out of its way to have a variety of movies, and certainly some that for people who are English speaking, or people who just like movies in English when they're, you know, if they're English movies, they want to see them in English as opposed to dubbed in French or even subtitled in French. So, mm-hmm. So that's that for this week.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Melanie. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.